Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is the National Edition. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Jason Brough, co-host of the Halford and Brough Show in Vancouver, Monday through Fridays, 6 to 9 a.m. on Sportsnet 650. We'll get into the Vancouver Canucks, maybe what TC's nationally across the country. Just prior to going to break, we talked a little bit about the NHL All-Star Weekend here in Toronto. We expect the league to announce as many as how many?
Just 30, one per two, team, yeah.
32 players.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Which, by the way, what does Vancouver do? They have like five legitimate All-Stars.
We'll ask Jason about that as well. And then how it goes, guys, is I think the fans then get to vote 12 more players, six skaters and four goalies. Eight skaters. Sorry. My math.
Yeah.
See what happens when I work late?
Listen, neither of us are mathists.
But then Vancouver fans, Calgary fans, Toronto fans can vote in their remaining players.
Yeah. I mean, we're in here in Toronto. Matthews and Nylander are kind of no-brainers. But Pettersson, Hughes, Demko, Miller, like...
So just before we went to break again, you mentioned that maybe the Leaf players would dread... All-Star Weekend. See, I am just so opposite of that comment.
God, they're around the media all the time. And then on like a weekend, other people go to Punta Cana. They got to come talk to, listen, Luke, I love you, but they got to talk to Luke again. They got to talk to, you know, we're going to be there.
Yeah.
We're going to be there. Yeah. They're going to have to come talk to us.
See, in 94, the year we won the cup was also the year the NHL All-Star Weekend came to Madison Square Garden, and by then Mark Messier had five cups in his hip pocket, and that guy just loved every second of it.
Yeah.
And Brian Leetch was involved. Mike Richter was involved. I think Mike Richter won the car, I think, in the game. Like he needed another one. But it's a once in a lifetime to be the host city.
Sure.
To it.
Yeah.
And I think the players are going to love it.
Back at it fondly, for sure.
Plus, as I told you, a little added incentive. The Beeb is going to give the players and maybe some of their families a private concert.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What?
Yes. The Beeb is all over NHL All-Star Weekend.
It's the Beebs, not the Beeb.
Oh. Sorry, Justin.
Yeah, the Beebs.
All right.
Zed.
The Beebs.
Yeah. We got to get the Beebs on the show during that time.
Leave it to Beebs.
I don't know what I'd ask him.
Oh, do you like hockey, Beebs?
So, Sammy, you're going to crash that party and somehow get into his show?
I do appreciate the Beebs.
I would really love to take part in any NHL All-Star weekend parties. So if you guys got invites for me or anybody out there listening wants to invite me to places, I am in.
Can we get Chris Pronger to crush him into the boards again like he did the 100th All-Star weekend
in
L.A.?
That's really cool that he's doing that. You know, like that is a little something special for these guys.
I will talk to him about his uniform last night, though, the third Leaf jersey, the black one. Is that not his?
Yeah.
I don't like them at all.
And I'm not a
uniform guy.
I don't like black jerseys. I like them.
They look like practice jerseys.
I like them.
I do too.
I wouldn't like
them as like their jersey.
But my mom loves them. So I
really?
Like, the jerseys?
No, the jerseys.
Okay, like, I'm in the minority then.
She says that they look tougher in them. So, and they played tough last night, so maybe she's onto something.
Could be.
I don't know.
Okay, then wear them all the time.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah, there you go. McDavid.
Yeah, so McDavid hits 900 points in 602 career games. That makes him the fifth fastest player to hit the 900-point mark. Here's the baffling part to me. Gretzky did it in 217 fewer games. So this is not to take away.
Two and a half seasons?
Yeah, this is not to take away from McDavid, who is a freak of nature. But Gretzky, God, did that guy have a lot of points and quickly. Like 385 games, he had 900 points.
You have the five?
Yes. Gretzky.
Mario.
385. Lemieux, 463. Mike Bossy, 582. Peter Stastny, 599. And Connor McDavid, 602. To 900 points.
Is it Lindros really? He's got to be close on that, too.
I don't know. But McDavid is going to get 2,000 points. Book it.
Wow. He was had 5 points last night.
Good player. Good
player. Did you see any of the game or see the highlights?
Saucy Saucerson.
All the goals were so nice.
All right, we have Bruff.
Okay, let's go.
All right, as promised, Jason Bruff, co-host of Halford and Bruff in Vancouver, joins us now. Bruffer, what's going on? Where are you?
I'm just at my kitchen table. I decided to come out of the car, and I'm just at my kitchen table. And you know what I'm doing? I've got Gretzky's Hockey DB page up, and I'm looking at all the 200-point seasons he had when he was in his, like, early 20s. And I think half of those points came against the Canucks.
The sad poke commissioner has all the stats on the Canucks getting destroyed. God.
But I remember when Gretzky and the Oilers would come to the Pacific Coliseum, and you know, you might think, oh, people would be lined up to go. No, there'd be like 7,000 people there. Like, we've seen this story before. Yeah, no, this is just embarrassing. Yeah.
Bruffer,
what's happening, boys? Happy New Year.
If the Canucks were as good as they are today, maybe those points wouldn't have come that easily.
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, you know what? Gretzky and McDavid, they're just on a different tangent. I mean, they're totally different players, but you know, I've been watching hockey my whole life. I'm getting a little bit older now. I've never seen a player like McDavid. Like, McDavid is just, he is just on an absolute another level. And I don't even know if we appreciate how good he really is. Like, would anyone be surprised if he wins the Art Ross Trophy this season and wins it by like 20 points?
No. Yeah. We were saying yesterday that he was an even odds guy to win the Hart Trophy with Kucherov. And I was like, you know, like what? You know, yeah. Like who's taking Kucherov in that scenario?
So, Robert, let's talk Vancouver Canucks. Sure. They're fourth in the NHL in points percentage. Are we at that point where they're in that upper echelon of teams that we think could compete for a Stanley Cup? Or are they just underneath it? Where do you have them?
You know, I just have to preface this by saying I have never been more surprised by the start of a Canucks season. I am still totally blown away by the success that they're having. I didn't see this coming. I really didn't. I thought there might be some improvement under Rick Tocchet. I thought maybe they'd be a little bit better defensively, but if you look at their record and you look at their goal differential and, you know, you look at all the games they've won in regulation, I know that's a talking point of Toronto with the Leafs having not won many games in regulation. It is shocking. And it hasn't even been half a season. So we're here in Vancouver trying to adjust to this. And it's really weird. And we don't know exactly what to think of it because it's been bad the last few years and people are now watching the Canucks a lot differently, but the badness is still in the back of their mind. Right. So like we were talking about the trade deadline and for the last, what, I don't know, except for that bubble year, which was so weird and I don't even count, for almost like a decade, the trade deadline is like, oh, that's selling time. Like, who can we get draft picks for? And now we're trying to adjust to this. Like, I think they could use another top six winger. It would be great if they could find another defenseman because, you know, we have to remind ourselves of all these things. Oh, yeah, you need, like, defensive depth for the playoffs because, like, it's almost like learning how to walk again. And I still don't know exactly, like, I don't know if I would call the Canucks a legit Stanley Cup contender today. And a lot of that is, it's just too soon.
You're afraid to be hurt, Bruff. That's all it is.
I'm afraid to be made to look like a fool. Like, as soon as I say, like, yeah, they're Cup contenders, you know, they've had a lot of things go right for them. I'm trying not to take anything away from them because, you know, I think Tocchet has done just an incredible job. You know, the way they played under Bruce Boudreau was fun at times. And listen, we all love Bruce. We love his personality. But when I watched that team, and I was saying this is in hindsight, I was saying this when he was still there and it was kind of an ugly situation. They didn't look like a well-coached team to me. They didn't play like that. They played beer league hockey at times. You know, they're probably, you know, Ottawa Senators fans are like, yeah, you know, like it's this,
sure thing,
you know, I saw a lot of the old Canucks in the Senators game last night when the Canucks were just all over them. It's 5-0 at the end of the first. No one seems to know what they're doing in their own end. And, you know, and bounces are going against them. So, you know, I'm sure from an outsider perspective, people are like, what are you talking about? Of course they're Stanley Cup contenders. Look at their record. Look at, you know, they've got elite players at all the positions. You know, you got Petey and Miller down the middle. You got Brock Besser scoring like an elite goal scoring winger, Quinn Hughes, Norris Trophy candidate, Thatcher Demko, Vezina candidate. Of course these guys are Stanley Cup contenders, but I'm just not ready to do it, whether or not I should or not.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It is a tough adjustment. We didn't go into the season thinking they're going to be this good. So the All-Star teams are going to be announced shortly. You know, looking at this Canucks group, it's like, my God, like obviously JT Miller with 50 points and Quinn Hughes, obviously, and Pettersson, obviously. Besser's got 25 goals. Like, you know, Demko's unbelievable. Who gets the credit for this success here among these players? Who should go?
Definitely Quinn Hughes.
Yes.
Definitely Quinn Hughes.
That's number one.
For sure, number one. And I don't, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know what's the maximum number of players from each team. They keep changing the All-Star rules, and I don't really keep up with it. I just hope there's a drunken player draft that I can watch and enjoy. But, you know, it doesn't really matter to me, like, who goes. I know who's been playing well, but it would start with Quinn Hughes. I didn't think he could take his game to another level, and he really has. You know, he was really good last season. He's been better this season. He is just able to skate himself, not only, you know, we always hear about his escapability in terms of the forecheck, but he has an escapability in the offensive zone that we don't see from many players. Like he has developed this, you know, he doesn't just walk the blue line. He walks the blue line and then goes downhill and gets himself in these really great shooting positions, which is why he's scoring more goals this year. He's also worked on a shot. So, you know, better shot, putting himself in better chances to score adds up to him actually scoring goals. And that's something that he wanted to do. He saw a guy like Roman Josi scoring goals, and he was like, I want to do that too. And he's done it. And I also think he was the perfect choice for captain. He's a well-spoken, composed guy who's been around NHL ranks just because of his family situation for pretty much his whole life. I know there was a bit of a debate in Vancouver, you know, should it be Hughes or should it be JT Miller or should it be Pettersson? Hughes was the obvious choice. Miller, you know, he's great as like a right-hand man because he's so emotional, but sometimes the emotion can be a problem when you're a leader. Like, you want your leaders to be composed. And then Petey, I don't think, wants anything to do with it, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, he's like, I hate the media. I don't want it. Like, Petey's most famous line in Vancouver when he talks to reporters is like, I don't want to create a headline for you guys. he doesn't say anything interesting. And it's like, if you're a captain, sometimes you have to create a headline because you just have to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Jason Brough, co-host of Halford and Brough in Vancouver, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 on Sportsnet 650. So, Brough, can you tell our Sammy McKee that Sam Lafferty is having a horrible season so he could stop crying about the Leafs letting him go?
He's useless. No one wants that guy, right, Brough?
Yeah. No, I'd much rather have Ryan Reeves, for sure.
Oh, man.
Yeah, for sure. No, he was nice because he added something that the Canucks needed, and that was some speed and a little bit of grit up front. You know, we talk a lot, and I'm sure people outside the market talk a lot about you know, Pettersson and Hughes and Miller and all the guys putting up these crazy point totals. And we'll talk about Rick Tocchet. Maybe the biggest improvement has been the bottom six. Like, I don't know if you've heard about this famous third line that the Canucks have. It is incredible. And it is, it is Teddy Bluger with Connor Garland and Dakota Joshua.
Yeah.
And it is an unbelievable line. Like, it is, they just go out there and they're always playing in the opponent's end of the ice. When Tocchet needs to kind of, if momentum is going the wrong way, is like, get the third line out there and the momentum is stopped. I don't know what it is about putting those three together. You know, Teddy Bluger, who was a healthy scratch for Vegas throughout their Stanley Cup run. Connor Garland, who on like the first day of the season, it came out that he had a trade request to get out of there. And then Dakota Joshua, the guy that Rick Tocchet was absolutely ripping in the preseason and training camp for being out of shape. Somehow these three have come together to form this incredible line. And it's, you know, and the fourth line too has been good with additions like Sam Lafferty and, you know, Pugh Suter. And they've just been, you know, a lot of things are going well for this team right now. They have depth, and that's something they haven't had for a while.
So this is the same Connor Garland the Canucks couldn't give away in the last year and a half. It is quite remarkable.
In the same conversation as Brock Besser, who they couldn't give away either. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I guess, okay, I guess we'll keep him. And he's like, you know,
so
you understand how crazy this is all to me, right? And it's just, and I think Canucks fans, we're having a great time. It is, don't get me wrong, it's been fun, but, you know, in some ways, in the back of our mind, it's like, is everyone playing a trick on us or something?
So if you have to get maybe a top winger that you're talking about, and maybe put him with Miller and Brock Besser and move out a guy like Giuseppe, who's, I think, been a healthy scratch on an occasion. Who and what do you give up to go get something of significance at the trade deadline?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's something we're discussing a lot. But again, we're putting the training wheels on the playoff edition talk because we're not used to this sort of stuff. so we're kind of like, what is the going rate? But, you know, there have been names, you know, thrown around, you know, like because of the Pittsburgh connection, we're all watching the Penguins about a guy like Jake Guentzel.
Ooh. Right?
What would be?
Wow.
But, like, that's just speculation, right? That's just speculation.
No, we love it. That's all we do is speculate on this show.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing.
It's a speculation and
then we, like, sober up. And then we sober up and we're like, well, actually, maybe about, like, Frank Vetrano or something like that. But, you know, this is the question that the management has to answer, you know. Do they think that this team is a legit cup contender? Because Jake Guentzel, let's say he's traded as a rental. You know, if I'm the Penguins, I'm expecting a first round pick and more. Are you going to give that up if you're the Canucks? And even if you intend to re-sign him, how are you going to do that? Right. You got to give Petey a big raise. You got to give Filip Hronek a big raise. You know, it's just, the cap is going up a little bit, but let's not act like it's going up $30 million a season or anything like that. It's only going up a little bit.
How's Zadorov been?
He's been
okay. I got it.
No, he's been okay. He's been okay. I like what he brought. I think what he was able to do was, you know, the Canucks had some guys in the lineup where there'd be nights where they had, let's say, both of Noah Juulsen and Akita Hirose in the lineup. And, you know, I think Juulsen has come a long way, but, you know, Hirose's not ready. Yeah. And he wasn't ready. And when you bring in a guy like Zadorov, you at least know he's an NHL player. I'm still not exactly sure how good he is. Like, I always have this rule where, you know, if you look at your defense and you have two pairs that you like, then you've got a good defense, right? And I don't think the Canucks have had that for a while. I know that's not a rocket science rule or anything, but, like, it works. And right now the Canucks have Hughes and Hronek, and you're like, you like that pair. But then the second pair is Zadorov and Myers, and those guys can be a little chaotic on the ice. And then the third pair, I quite like if it's Ian Cole and Noah Juulsen. Ian Cole, just like a journeyman, steady defenseman, perfect in that role, who can help a guy like Noah Juulsen, who's still learning the NHL game. Although he's not that young, but, you know, that second pair to me, I still don't know about it. And even when Carson Soucy comes back, I don't know about it. Now, Tyler Myers is interesting because if you're able to move him, then that opens up all sorts of cap space where you could address other needs, whether it be up front or even on the back end, or maybe you could do it both. But you also have to be careful about trading away a guy like Tyler Myers, because again, playoff reminder for us that, you know, haven't seen the playoffs for, like, you need depth on defense. You need defensemen because they get injured. So you got to be really careful about trading away defensemen that you might regret giving away.
Does Soucy bump Julesen out, or is this like, what is Soucy coming back do?
Probably Julesen would be the guy that comes out. But then you've got kind of a weird mix because Julesen's a righty and Soucy's a lefty. So, you know, Rick Tocchet really likes the lefty-righty combination. They've been quite hesitant to do anything else. So I'll be very curious to see how they do it. They'll definitely have – I will say one thing. They will definitely have a very tall defense once Carson Soucy is back. And, you know, I think they like that because Rick Tocchet is all about, you know, protecting the middle of the ice. And if you've got a good – you know, you make it really tough for players to get into the middle of the ice and have their slot shots, and you're pretty confident that Petrodemko is going to handle things from the outside.
So I'll have you give your thoughts on the best Canadian teams right now. If you sort the league by points percentage, you know, going around, boy, the Winnipeg Jets right up at the top. The Canucks are up there. The Leafs are doing fairly well. But, I mean, the Oilers are hot now. I mean, they're showing their true colors. If we got some real cup contenders in Canada, or what do you think?
Well, we discussed this earlier on our show, and I put it this way. If the Vancouver Canucks won the Stanley Cup, how shocked would you be on a scale of 1 to 10?
Like 10.
And 10.
9.
If the Edmonton Oilers won the Stanley Cup.
Sewn to the carpet. Surprised.
Yeah. But if the Edmonton Oilers won the Stanley Cup, how shocked would you be, scale of 1 to 10? Maybe a 6 or a 7?
Yeah, less surprised, I suppose. Good point.
Yeah. And, you know, Winnipeg, you know, I don't know how the Jets are doing it. I think it's really impressive. I mean, they might be the greatest 5-on-5 team in the history of the NHL because their special teams aren't even that good. And they're missing Kyle Connor.
Goalie of the
Dubois
month.
Trade has really worked out for them because I think they've added, you know, two pretty good forwards in that trade. But I'm not an expert on the Jets. I haven't watched them much. The Canucks haven't played them yet. So I feel bad. We've kind of ignored them a little bit, but what they're doing is pretty impressive. And, you know, I think they do have players with playoff experience there. Like, they've learned their lesson. That's the one thing about, or they've learned lessons in the postseason, I assume. That's the one thing about the Canucks is, like, this group hasn't been to the playoffs together. So they haven't even had that experience of, like, oh, yeah, you can't do this in the playoffs. You know, I don't count the bubble as a true playoffs because I think a lot of teams didn't really want to be there. You know, the Canucks beat the Wild and then the defending champion St. Louis Blues, and I guarantee the Blues were in that bubble like, hey, it was a lot more fun when we were playing in front of like wild crowds and winning the Stanley Cup than it is right now. Let's all go home, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a real lack of experience when it comes to the playoffs in the core of the Canucks, like in their best players.
Prefer one more before I let you go here. On occasion on the Real Kipper and Bourne show, we've gotten ourselves in hot water. As you mentioned earlier, you said Petey is in for a big raise. So we're going to play the how big of a raise game because we've done it with Willie Nylander. And like I said, we've gotten hot water a little bit here and there. So yeah. I'm glad to pass this game on to you, my friend.
Yeah, Kipper, why are you trending on my Twitter?
I want to get you trending right now. How big of a raise for Petey?
I think he'll be 11 or 12 on a shorter term deal, 3 or 4 years, something like that. Yeah. Like
he wants to get to UFA?
So he wants the Matthews type of scenario. Right? He won't give it all up, but he wants
the talk right now is that the Canucks would want longer term. But Petey might want to line himself up with Quinn Hughes because Quinn Hughes after this season has 3 years left on his deal and then he's UFA. I don't know if Petey wants to be in a situation where he signs super long term And then Hughes goes to New Jersey or something, and he's like, what kind of team do we have here? Because winning is really important to Petey, and, you know, he's been through a lot in this market. There's a lot of people right now, you know, that look at his point totals and say, yeah, the point totals are great, but there's still something off about his play right now. There's still something that's not quite there. He played a great game yesterday against Ottawa. It might have been his best game of the season or one of the best games of his season, but – you know, this is going to be a real interesting situation because none of us really know what Petey's thinking. Like, he's such an introvert and he's so guarded and he's so quiet. We have no idea what he's thinking.
We'll get to work, my friend.
That's impressive in that market.
Hey, that's
good
not
for him.
My job.
Whose job is that? Me?
I'm just a morning show guy.
Jason, awesome stuff. We really appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this, man.
All right, see you, boys.
Thanks, buddy.
Jason Brough does a terrific job on the morning show in Vancouver.
I mean, that's great for them that they're just, like, so blindsided by the success of their team that they're like, this is fun. Having a good time. Did not anticipate this. A lot of good players there. All having a great season at the same time.
I love hearing him say that because that's one of the thoughts I've had forever about them. It's like, there's no fan base, I mean, across sports, maybe, that's expectations shifted like they have in 3 months.
You know, I took a lot of heat last year. I would go on their show. I did like a weekly thing with them last year. And I was like, this is a pretty good team. I cannot make sense of why they're bad. This is a pretty good team. And I feel somewhat vindicated by that years long.
But he's got the Cinderella syndrome here. He thinks that, you know, 12 could strike.
Oh, yeah. The pumpkin is still a very real option.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, by the way, when you guys are talking off the top about Gretzky versus the Canucks,
yeah,
how many points in 117 games against the Vancouver Canucks did Wayne Gretzky
I'm
have?
I want to say one. And then some. So, 275.
No. I want to say 212.
239 and 117 against the Canucks.
Okay.
For a plus 61.
I didn't go over.
No, you're right.
No, yours counts.
375 shots.
Gretzky's.
That's insane. His numbers are amazing. To me, and my favorite thing about his numbers is he played two games against the Nashville Predators.
Why do
How many points?
Seven?
Eight.
Eight, yeah.
Why do I think all of those points came off of John Garrett?
Bruff's right, though. Gretzky's early years... 212, 196, 205, 208, 215.
Is that why he was at the game last night? Just to remind everybody?
Yeah.
Hang with Nickelback.
Yeah. This McDavid kid's about three quarters as good as me.
The Florida Panthers did a pretty good job against Gretz.
Yeah.
He had 17 points in 20 games. He's a dash four.
Wow. Yeah. The Panthers.
The Panthers
the
really had a
record.
He really held him under wraps.
That's impressive.
That's funny.
All right, what do we want?
Do you want to do game time?
That's you, man. You're the producer. Well, I'm just a measly host.
You looked at me
co-host.
Like you had something to say, and then you're like, what's next? So,
it's my
game time.
Eyes. They're the
it's
size of pee holes in the snow right now.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds. Find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. And like, it's not like we get a reprieve tonight. I mean, 10:30 and 9 o'clock might as well be a whole day apart. It's a big difference, but... Yeah. We're staying up late again tonight, bud. 9 p.m. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Not a lot of action tonight. Devils and Capitals. Last night, I went with the 2014 parlay of Ovechkin and Sid to both score, and they both did.
Check.
Don't know if you saw Sid's goal, but he was, like, lying on his butt when he ended up putting it in the net. It was a very nice goal. I'm going back to the well with Ovi again here. Feel like it's starting to kind of turn a bit, unfortunately, for my likings of Gretzky holding that record. I'm going with a Ovechkin goal again tonight to keep him hot at plus 135.
And go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say Max Pacioretty is in for the Washington Capitals tonight.
I just wanted to ask you quickly, coming off of Ruffer's comment earlier about the thought of Quinn Hughes waiting it out to go to New Jersey. Is that like...
The Hughes kids are going to play together.
Who doesn't think that that's... Not going to happen.
It's definitely happening.
I would never say that about our good friends of Vancouver. He's going to play for the Canucks his whole life.
But the only question is, will it happen while they're in their prime or will it be an end of career? Fine, you know, they do it. I don't know where they're from, but, you know, they find a way to play together at some point. you know, there's no guarantee it's going to be anytime soon, but they'll find a way at some point. Maybe it'll be in Vancouver. That's how we'll spin that.
Yeah. That'd be a nice marketing chip for the league.
Wouldn't it? That would be fun to watch.
And there's obviously not a ton of value with the Leafs going into Anaheim tonight, but the way Austin Matthews started the game last night and the way he looked in those first few shifts, if he does that again against Anaheim, I like his chances to score a goal. So the Leafs to win the game and Austin Matthews to score the first goal of the game is plus 625. So
just such a high number.
A little value. Yeah. He was buzzing in the first few shifts last night. And he could have scored easily. So I like that one tonight because there's not a ton of value with the Leafs playing the crappy old Ducks. I mean, you could bet on the Ducks, but that probably wouldn't be the best bet.
Right.
Unless the Leafs do what they always do. So maybe it is a good bet. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Check, check.
I just got a text on the text line. That was really good. Only the New York Jets expectations changed as fast as ours did. Theirs took four plays to change.
Yeah.
That's from Vancouver.
Ouch.
Yeah. We're going to go to break. We're going to get some news and notes. But just one more thing off of Vancouver last night against the Ottawa Senators.
Oh, my God.
Like, there's some people that thought the Ottawa Senators could get to a conference final this year. They believed in this team more than just a team that could contend for a playoff spot.
Pinto out of the gates.
Like, what is happening here? How do you go down, you know, two field goals in the 22 minutes?
It's not pretty.
I don't know. Like, you know, it's like you already hired the coaching consultant.
What's field goal on the safety. They went down five.
Is that what it was? Yeah. And then, yeah. It's, you know, he mentioned the way they're playing right now. I don't know if, you know, it wasn't going well with DJ, and then now you're trying to change horses mid-race and, like, some of the systems.
They're
not
responding to Jacques.
Well.
They're not.
Yeah, or maybe it's just, like, that transition time while they figure out how to play the way he wants to play. I don't know. Do you think they'll hire another coach this year?
I think there's too much in the season to just let this
go
for another
40-plus
games.
They've played.
Yes, I do think that they really need to think long and hard, and I don't know who their choice would be, but Craig Berube will not be out there that long. I don't know what that means, but I don't think that they could wait to the off season to make a decision that now we want to go to Craig Berube. Don't risk losing Craig Berube to somebody else if you think that this guy is what your younger players need to be held accountable.
God, you just look at Vancouver, right? And the success that they had when someone who came in who was a little bit hard-nosed and can push guys, look at the success they had.
But they did it late. Right? Last year, remember how long they let poor Bruce twist in the wind?
Yeah.
And then they finally...
It was too late,
yeah.
Which is the point about Ottawa, I think. And, God, that's really tough, though, to, you know, for Andlauer to make the decision to or Steos or whatever, to have Jacques Martin take over the team, then, like, six games later be like, all right, we got to do it again.
Don't care. Just...
Berube's Canadian, right? He's Canadian.
Yes.
From Alberta. You know, that helps. Come coach in Canada. Rare opportunity. You know, team is new energy. Listen, lots of good young players.
Yeah. I mean,
there's definitely worse jobs.
That's a lineup that you'd want to think compete in two or three years.
For 7 years, 8 years, right? Like, as they develop and grow and compete.
They'll need to buck up for...
To get Berube.
Yes. And again, if you spend a lot of money just buying the team, I don't know how interested they are in going and spending or committing. I don't know what it would take, $10, $12, $14 million, $15 million.
What's that over?
3 years? Four years?
You think?
Berube's a Stanley Cup champion coach. You got coaches that have not won the Stanley Cup making $5 million now.
I just feel like you can't take over an NHL team and be like, I'm looking for the coupons here, you know? Like, you need to get the best people to win games, to fill the seats, to compete, to get in the playoffs. Yeah. buying the discount version of the guy you want for a million less.
But it's hard. Yeah, I mean, you're still paying.
It's real money.
Pierre Dorion. Mm-hmm. You're paying DJ to stay at home. You named Steos your permanent general manager.
Pull in now.
But you didn't. I don't think you had to pay Steos more money to be
the general manager. Doing the job, yeah.
So, and Dave Poulin wouldn't have cost a ton of money to get pulled off of network television.
You don't think network television pays a lot? Just asking. Yes, I see
your
point.
I know it used to.
Fair enough. Sounds like I missed that boat.
But so I don't know. I mean, what do you, if you're the Ottawa Senators, like, you just watched Edmonton also. You used Vancouver as an example. You watched Edmonton bring in a guy that, I mean, you can't argue it with the results that you're getting from the Edmonton Oilers right now, that if it means a new voice, a fresher one, one that can find different ways to push a button, Ottawa has to consider that now.
Yeah, Ottawa is definitely a team to keep eyes on.
But that was embarrassing last night for them.
Yeah, not great, right? And then you're 8 games away from Pinto coming back. You know, if you can kind of have like a fresh start of thing, go on a bit of a run, get a new coach, get a third line center.
What goal was that? Number 6?
Well, they were down 5-0.
Yeah.
And they fight back to make it 5-3.
Yeah.
And then off the ensuing faceoff, they win it back. Horrible turnover. It's an awful turnover, and Suter's just dumping it in to go off and change, and it just takes a right turn off the last bounce and goes into the net.
It's just when things go wrong, man, when it rains, it pours.
I mean, comes back to hockey, it could be called goaltending, and it's like they got no saves all year, and they're got a lot of good players. They're just not ready, I guess. They need a good goalie. They need a new coach. I don't know. And I had so many
times. He took over this team like in a good spot. And I'm like, what is going on here?
I know.
What has happened?
He's the meme where he walks in with the pizzas and all the fires happening. That's what's happening.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to discuss Jason Zucker. He's got a hearing for a boarding incident on Nick Cousins after a questionable hit. I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about this because yesterday, you guys took me down a path with Ryan Hartman on Cole Perfetti.
Yeah, you got to
apologize
for that.
I just went along with what said.
Are the Jets people mad?
Yeah.
Oh, I avoided that. Nice.
Well, in fairness, they provided a lot of context, and it was pretty bad.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
Don't miss it after the break. We'll get into that. Plus, Zucker's hearing. After the break, Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are the Real Kipper and Bourne. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. So tomorrow night, you'll reveal the names of the first 32 players participating in the All-Star Weekend here in Toronto. And, of course, we're going to be a big part of it. I think the three of us will be doing a show from under the Gardner Expressway.
Yes, they're going to put us under the garbage truck route.
down at the ferry terminal with the Queen's Key.
There's one crack in the Gardner where, like, the rain, it just, like, looks like Niagara Falls coming off of it.
Yeah, that's where we're going to be.
Our table will be right underneath it.
We're going to be interviewing equipment managers from the incoming teams. Stay tuned. For the record, I have no idea what we're doing yet.
Yeah, I mean,
people hate, well, maybe hate's a strong word, dislike that every player gets repped.
I do.
What do you mean? Every team?
Every team gets repped.
Because I want the league's all-stars, not this weird division of World Cup.
Past that, aren't we, like, just...
Well, the meaning of being an X-time all-star is entirely devalued. It doesn't mean anything anymore. There's World Cup and Olympics. And
it used to be a big deal saying he's an all-star.
But you would take that into contracts. Like, I'm an X-time all-star or whatever, and now it's just...
Now it's like, shot the guy out of the... What's it called? Where the guy fell in the water? What was it called? What are those things called where you... Oh, okay.
How do you got the guy out of the thing that fell in the water?
No, like the...
Dunk tank?
Thank you, General Nick. Dunk tank.
Like, how do you pick somebody from Columbus? Right?
I don't know.
It's hard.
What does their leading scorer have?
To me, it's a very easy thing to do. You look at the team, if you're picking, and you say, that guy
is the most
skilled and good, and we would like to feature him. For example, Adam Fantilli, a guy who's really young, got a ton of skill. He's a rookie. Like, you want those kind of guys there? Take him there. That would be my vote.
I think they should name the cannon.
The cannon. I think you should earn it.
Wheel out the cannon.
You're not, this isn't a hypothetical all-star tournament.
Tell you who I'm not taking. Johnny Gaudreau.
Their leading scorer.
Is he?
Yes.
Well, by default.
He has 25 points in 39 games, minus 18.
Oh, man.
But for Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Toronto, you could
Miller,
vote
Hughes,
in.
Pettersson, best.
Fans will be able to vote in. So,
Demko.
That's where you get your...
Yeah.
Your hope. Hopefully your supporting cast players around your star.
I'm sure it being where it is in Toronto and Vancouver's fan base, or a lot of these guys will get in.
Okay.
Deserving players.
So before we go to Zucker and a hearing on a big hit on Nick Cousins, just to kind of
mea culpa here,
talk a little bit more about the heat that we took for being classless. What was not that I read a lot of social media, but people were not happy when
we said that
Hartman a bit of a green light to go after a guy like Cole Perfetti.
Well, I would say that over the course of the years in this show, you have said, you like, why doesn't that happen more, where you go to the other team's best player and say, if our guy gets greased again, it's you, just so you know.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of what I had in my mind. God, I looked at the Dylan on Kaprizov cross checks that they're all mad about. I mean, they're like controlling little baby cross checks. It's a nothing play. And then there were follow-up retribution moments. So I'm going to go ahead and say a bit excessive from Ryan Hartman.
Still, all yet, still love it.
Yeah,
and yeah, I like the concept still.
This wasn't Ryan Hartman's deserving here. Ryan Hartman's a grease bag. He does greasy things. He was mad about his best player being hurt, and he hit a guy in the face. And hockey.
Like, to me,
agree with that.
To me, this just is the beginning of the story.
Yes.
And that's, it doesn't end there. It's just the start of it. So no, I don't expect Cole Perfetti now to fight back, but I expect someone on Winnipeg to go after Ryan Hartman and say, now you get to answer for that.
And he will. February 20th. They're already looking at it.
There's Adam Lowry.
Yeah.
Right there, pal. And, you know, do the right thing now.
Yeah.
Don't go run and hide.
This is fun, though, that this is the part where I'm like, I like this. I like that there's animosity. There's a game on the schedule. I'm looking forward to watching.
Yes.
That's good stuff.
God forbid.
Oh, I know. It's great.
Oh.
And this is
a lead up to a game where people might be mad at each other.
I know.
We're allowed to do that.
So
still?
In isolation, the Hartman thing and Perfetti, it's kind of stupid. Definitely unnecessary. I like what it says about the NHL.
Yeah, respond. How do you respond now?
And I think Mike Gartner comes on our show and says there's just not enough, you know, animosity, personal emotions involved in all the games. So from that level, makes for good viewing.
Which takes us to Jason Zucker.
Oh, my God.
Who has a hearing for boarding Nick Cousins after another questionable hit on Valimaki. So here is Nick Cousins. And you've been watching Nick Cousins piss off a lot of people in the last little while. And Zucker just says, I've had enough. I've had enough. And he goes and he slams them. Like, what does Nick Cousins expect after that hit? That he gets to just relax and what? Roll up a lawn chair.
He had the exact same reaction after he did the horrible hit, the worst hit to Gabranson. Last night's was bad too, where he takes a shot at the guy's head. It's obviously a dirty hit, but he just stands there like he's immune from, you know, being retribution against him. And Zucker destroys him from behind. Like, it's a rotten play.
It's a rotten play.
But, like,
that
listen,
will be suspended.
For sure, he'll get suspended.
One game.
But Cousins should, they got to do something about him. Like, that hit was it's a finable hit, what he did to Valimaki. It's not maybe suspendable, but it's close.
You're also just lose the benefit of the doubt after enough whoopsies.
Well, you're just going to keep protecting Cousins and letting guys bury him and get suspended for the retribution as opposed to the act that makes it happen? And it's like,
listen,
they're a greasy team.
The league has to protect against those type of hits. That's why he's going to be suspended one game. But this is the way it should work. You want to go run around, be a dirtbag, make these bad hits. Someone's going to knock your block off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And if he gets suspended one game, so what?
So this is the same theme.
One game suspension.
Mid-season.
And the bigger picture should be don't hit because someone's going to come after you.
Yeah. You know, when I talk to a lot of people in the U.S. and, you know, spend a lot of time there in the offseason, all of that, people who love hockey, one of the foremost things they talk about is fighting and physicality.
Of course.
They love that element. That's like a draw, the way that, you know, people love fighting in the UFC. People love, you know, contact in football. People love that element of our sport. And, you know, we have a choice as a league where we can say people love this. They want to watch it, you know, and players play it. Or we can say we want to go the IIHF way and, you know, do no hits to the head and try to eliminate it all. We kind of have to pick a way here. You can't try to be safe.
The league's picked away.
They have picked away.
They've picked away already.
They've made a choice.
What the problem is there's a lot of people that don't
agree with the decision.
Agree with it and accept it.
Yeah. Like, you know, I just know talking to my dad and their friends and like they, you know, they still love that element of the game and prize it. And it certainly was a huge part of it. And I think it's important to keep the interest in hockey, that there is a physical component.
One way or another, Nick Cousins is going to have to answer for those type of hits.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer him dropping his gloves and battling it out. But if he wants to go this way moving forward, just be prepared, my friend.
Yeah.
Because there's more Zuckers out there that will get you.
Yeah.
And he saw the numbers. He took a shot.
He made a decision.
Yeah,
that's one of the clearest hits from behind where a guy made a choice.
He's like I'm going to
he's going to wear
this
one.
Guy.
Yeah.
And then good on Zucker. Forsling comes in there, and Zucker's not usually a fighter. He drops the gloves, gives a spear to go with him. He's going to get suspended. But I'll tell you right now, you know who he has the respect of? All fans in the league.
Teammates.
His teammates, like all the people in the league. Like Branson probably called Zucker. Was like, hey, man.
Thanks, pal.
Great job. Right? Like, it's just, at some point, reputation.
Yeah.
When did the Florida Panthers become one of the most hated teams in the league?
I mean, if you're a Panthers manager, GM, coach, you
big
love
picture
it.
Picture outside of that incident.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of fun.
Can I tell you something right now? This is a quiet little secret that no one was listening. If you offered me roster trade Leafs for Panthers right now, done.
Really?
Done. Yeah. I'd take the trade right away.
Yeah.
You're losing your Matthews and your Marners and your Willie Nylanders.
But I'm telling you right now, if that was the team here, they would be like on Legends Row immediately. They'd be the most popular team in league in team history. Like the way that they play, the way that they look, if they were in blue and white, they'd be the most popular.
Give me the cats.
They're like the Pistons.
The NBA. Old Pistons.
The
old
Pistons. Not the Pistons now.
No, not the Pistons now. Remember how, like, you ever watched those documentaries?
Oh, yeah.
They're vicious.
Ben Billy Wallace era?
Billy Laimbeer would just be like
Laimbeer.
Hammering guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
But yes,
that's
that
my
is
dirty little secret that I didn't want anyone to hear. So hopefully no one's
no
listening.
No one did. It's good.
All right. Can I go home to bed now?
Listen.
No, we got two games to watch
9
tonight.
9 p.m.
Oh. New Jersey and Washington, and on the network, National, Toronto Maple Leafs in Anaheim, 9 p.m. Eastern.
We see the Hildebeest? Yes,
can
no.
Can we have an
any
answer
word yet?
No, nothing. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's Jones.
Did they announce Jones already?
No, that's going to be. I'm announcing.
No. It's Sheldon Keefe's style to kind of keep it a secret. I think that's why it's not out. It's because it's the kid.
Jones.
All right, enjoy your games tonight. Our thanks. to okay, Jason.
Jason Bruff.
We gotta go.